Bloke.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Booker Tov Howard, very good, thank you. What's the story with this international piracy that's going on? It's kind of back to the Somalian piracy syndrome with all these tankers being attacked at sea and Iranian and British and all the rest of it. I have to tell you, though, that I think that some heads in the Iranian National Guard are going to be rolling over this attempt to take over the British tanker. It obviously didn't go too well, and they don't really suffer failures politely. But it's really, really crazy what's going on, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. What I also found fascinating is, you know, between 6 and 6.30, Zanati and I take a look at what happened in the world whilst you were sleeping. So we go through local news. Zanati does local news. I do international news. And what I found incredible was Times of Israel, Arutsheva, all of them, Reuters, everybody was reporting on this incident except for the BBC. It took them an hour or two longer to even report on this issue. It was like they didn't want to go there. And I found it absolutely fascinating that this was, and it was a British tanker that was part of this failed attack or hijacking or piracy, whatever it was. And BBC seemed very reluctant to report, certainly took their time about it.
Well, I just wonder whether there were some security considerations. I know that certainly in Israel, you know, things have got to be cleared for production, cleared for being advertised publicly before they actually do so, before they actually write about it in the press. But, I mean, one would have thought that the BBC would have wanted to write about this pretty quickly, given that it's really a success on behalf of the British rather than a failure. And so one would have thought that they would be the first ones to be writing about it. But, you know, it all comes out in the end, right?
It absolutely does, and that's exactly how. And look, I believe that this is going to be a massive story. I'm convinced that this is going to now change the dynamic or the path of this conflict quite significantly.
I have no doubt that that's true.
All right, talking about things closer to home for you in Israel, the IDF has published statistics about fires breaking out in the south of Israel along the Gaza border as a result of the incendiary devices. What are the statistics showing?
Well, the statistics are showing that 2019 is a lot better than 2018. That's the general trend that we're seeing. But for me, it was quite interesting to see the level of detail that is measured about these fires. For example, according to the statistics that we saw during 2018, for example, there were a total of 3,500 hectares burnt as a result of these fires, whereas during 2019, at least up until now, only about 140 hectares have been burnt as a result of these fires. It also measures the amount of time, average time that it takes for firefighters to respond to these fires. So during 2018, for example, it took an average of 8 minutes for firefighters to get to the fire, whereas in 2019, they're now up to 5 minutes on average to get to the scene of the fire. But the number of fires is the thing that really, really took my attention. During June of 2018, there were 623 fires that broke out. In 1 month, 623 fires. The next month that had the most fires was in May of 2018 with 301, whereas in June of 2019, only, and we say only with the big inverted commas around it, right? Only 124 fires broke out, and only 63 in May. So there's a huge reduction in the number of fires that we're seeing. There's also an improvement in the time that it takes firefighters to respond to these fires. And of course, as a result of that, there is a massive reduction in the amount of land that is being burnt and destroyed as a result of these fires. So it's an interesting statistic, and it just goes to show in how much detail these things are being measured in order to try and keep a track of exactly what's going on. And I'm guessing also to allow people to respond in a more efficient way in order to make sure that you know, these fires don't cause the damage that we certainly saw during 2018. Unfortunately, the incendiary devices have not stopped completely. Just the other day, there was another report of an incendiary device being sent over the Gaza border. However, these days, it seems to be an exception rather than the rule. There were some days that I can recall when dozens, if not hundreds, of incendiary balloons were being sent over the border. This is now not so much the case anymore. And we can see that as well in the number of fires that are breaking out. So all in all, the trend is very positive, but I can't say that it's good, because when you're seeing a month of June with 124 fires breaking out, I mean, that is still pretty serious.
Absolutely. Really, really, I guess at least it's moving in the right direction. Ayelet Shaked has said that she's going to make a decision about her political future in the next few days. Anthony, does this mean that she's now reconsidering her decision to leave politics?
It seems like she is. I mean, I think that with the next round, the second round of elections having been announced, it's given her the opportunity to reconsider. We know that she decided to leave politics, or maybe it was decided for her, because she wasn't elected to the Knesset, right, in the last election. So maybe the decision was made on her behalf, but then she came out saying she's decided to leave politics. And in the meantime, there have been a lot of things going on in terms of the possibility of her returning to the Knesset, or returning at least to politics and to contest the next elections. We do know that her attempts to break away with Naftali Bennett from the Beit HaYehudi and establish the New Right Party were unsuccessful. The New Right Party ultimately just failed to achieve the minimum number of votes required in order to give them a representation in the Knesset. And there is talk about her possibly joining up with Moshe Feiglin, who leads the Zuhut party. Now, interestingly enough, if they had joined together, in other words, the New Right being Naftali Bennett and Ayelet Shaked's new party, if they joined with Moshe Feiglin, and let's assume that that the joint party would have received the number of votes that each of the individual parties managed to receive, both of whom did not achieve the minimum number. So neither of those two parties were represented in the Knesset that never was. But if they had come together and contested this together, then the joint number of votes would have given them 7 seats in the Knesset. So, you know, that would have changed the whole mix and the makeup of the Knesset in a very substantial way. It's not clear at whose cost those seats would have come. But nevertheless, that is a very substantial group already, and quite a substantial representation. So there is some talk about that grouping being formed, the joint Zuhut by Yamina Chadash, the New Right, getting together to try to contest the next election. There is also apparently talk about Ayelet Shaked and Naftali Bennett somehow cooperating with the party that they left behind, with the Beit HaYehudi and Rafi Peretz. There is some talk about them cooperating over the next election, but be that as it may, things need to move ahead quite quickly, because we've only now got a very, very short period of time within which they can decide, because the final lists for the Knesset need to be submitted very, very soon indeed. It's just 3 weeks away from now before the lists have to be submitted and finalized ahead of that September date, when the next election still seems to be going ahead, at least from what we can see now, that it's not really far away, 17th of September. So, you know, things are moving ahead. And for those people who thought, like I did, that this was just going to be a rerun of what we saw in the last election, I think we were mistaken, because there are new parties on the horizon now contesting the election. There is a new situation surrounding Prime Minister Netanyahu as to whether he will even be in a position to be Prime Minister by the time the election date comes around. So I thought that was just going to be like a copy paste, and we were going to get the same result and effectively be in the same position again, but just 3 or 4 months down the line. I also think that the Kahol Lavan's situation, the way that the public are perceiving them, has changed since the last election. I think they've become more of an older kind of phenomenon rather than this new sort of unknown and therefore quite exciting phenomenon. I think that some of the realities of what's going on within Kahol Lavan and where they stand on the political spectrum are becoming clearer, and I think that people will review them in a slightly different way. I'm not saying for better or for worse. I'm just saying different for the moment, and we'll, you know, perhaps assess how that, what that means as we get closer to the elections. But certainly, for those who thought that it was just going to be copy paste, it clearly is not. And I just wonder whether Ehud Barak's return to politics is not potentially going to do more damage to the people that he represents than good, because there are some talks about the fact that the Likud voters who might otherwise have, you know, been a little bit apathetic about turning out for the next election are now being driven in droves to come and vote against Barak because he suddenly appeared on the horizon and people have been woken up by this. So it might well do more damage than he thinks.
I'm absolutely convinced that it'll do more damage. And it just says that, you know, the left or Labour is just so out of ideas that they're bringing back the old ones who weren't particularly successful in the first place, but maybe has some kind of a nostalgic appeal. So I just can't imagine whoever thought that this could be a good idea. But obviously that's my own opinion on that. An Arab Israeli athlete has been attacked for deciding to represent Israel in an upcoming international athletics events. Why is she being attacked?
Well, you know, she's being attacked by some of these Arab groups who feel that as an Arab person, she shouldn't be representing the so-called occupation, which is the wording that's been used in some of the social media stuff that's been written about Hanin Nasser, who comes from a village in the Galil, in the Galilee area. She's a high jumper, and she has achieved Israel's 9th best jump ever, 1.79 meters. She's only 22 years old, and she will be competing in the athletics event, the under 23 European Championships, which is due to take place in Sweden on July the 11th. So starting today, actually, over the weekend, and she will be representing the Israeli national team at under 23 level in the high jump. And we're going to be watching her very, very eagerly indeed, because I can tell you that most of Israel will be very much supporting her. And the fact that she happens to be an Arab athlete is of no real consequence to the fact that she is jumping in the blue and white colors of Israel. And we will be very proudly supporting her and wishing her the best, even though some of these Arab groups have taken to social media. And I'd like to just quote what one wrote. We condemn her representation of the Zionist entity that uprooted our people and using her as a fig leaf to cover up the racism and crimes of Israel. That is exactly what they wrote. And then they went on to say that in somewhere else, that while we are proud of you as a gymnast with a promising future in the sport, we are shocked that you would represent the occupation. Nasser, they said, is jumping on the wounds of our Palestinian nation with her high jump. So that is the view that's been taken, at least by some Arab-Israeli groups. I mean, we're not talking here about Palestinian groups that are outside of, let's say, the Israeli borders. These are people who are citizens of Israel who have this view about her, which is, I think, a very, very sad statement, and brings us back to this perennial discussion that we seem to have about the status of the Arabs in Israel and how they view themselves, particularly the very vocal ones, because I can already tell you that there are so many Arabs who live in Israel who are happy to be Israeli citizens, who are happy to pay their taxes, who are happy to go about their daily lives and do the work and take advantage of whatever the state has to offer them like every other citizen, and just want to get on with a good life and to build a future for their children and for their families. And then, unfortunately, we have these very vocal ones who jump up on social media, and they make it sound as if though this is the voice of the majority, and it really isn't. And even if it's a voice of a significant minority, then, you know, there is a lot of thought that we need to give as to what the real status of Arab citizens of Israel are, and we've certainly seen how they've behaved in the Knesset, which is not very doesn't give us a great deal of pride in terms of the fact that they have the ability to sit in the uppermost decision-making body in the state of Israel to influence the laws are being promulgated and things like that, and yet they have this very anti approach to the state of Israel, to the country that gives them their home and gives them everything that they have in life. So, you know, we wish her a great deal of support as she goes to Sweden, Hani Nasser, and we hope that she will be very successful and that she'll be able to silence these anti-views that seem to come up against her.
Well, of course, it's so ironic that they're suggesting that by her participating, by her representing Israel, she's covering up racism, whereas where obviously the fact that she is representing Israel further underscores how this is not an issue. But unfortunately, by her doing so, it proves it, which obviously is problematic for some. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, this is where we leave you. We'll wish you a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, because it is Thursday, and we'll catch you on Monday, same time as always. It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.